Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. Today is Monday, January 27th, and we are another day closer to pitchers and catchers reporting. Warmer weather's around the corner, and baseball will be here before we know it. We're continuing to break down team-by-team farm systems. As always, you can find those full top 30s on the DynastyDugout.com. But today we're here to talk about the Cincinnati Reds farm system. And who better to bring on than Bryce Spaulding, who covers the Reds system. There's a lot of great work on Twitter. Followed him for quite some time, and you can definitely find him covering all things Reds at Bryce_Spaulding. Bryce, welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. The Reds have a fun farm system, and they've pretty much had a constant stream of talent coming through for a while. They draft extremely well year over year. I thought they knocked out the 2024 draft, and we'll definitely talk about a couple of those guys, but yeah, let's get into it right off the top. I mean, at the top of the system, it's two arms, it's Chase Burns, it's Rhett Lauder. You can flip them however you want to. I think Burns is definitely the higher upside play, and I think Lauder's probably the higher floor. But what are we looking at in these two arms with Burns and Lauder, and what do they bring to the table, and could they make an impact on this Reds team in 2025?
Yeah, for sure. I think we saw kind of who Rhett Lauder is and his short cameo in the big leagues, and obviously pitched great. I think there was a little luck involved there, but who doesn't want that on their side a little bit? But I think he's just a really polished arm. Obviously the great feel for the changeup that a lot of people don't have as a prospect, as a 22, 23-year-old. So that's obviously a plus. Like you said, I don't know where the ceiling falls. Maybe a three or a four down the road, but you're going to take those guys, especially a Reds team that doesn't attract free agents and then the pitching market too much. So definitely excited about him. I do think he's a really, really quality arm. But like you mentioned, I think Burns definitely has a higher ceiling. I obviously watched him a ton at Wake whenever he was in college. And then now, obviously looking forward to seeing him pitch professionally and see what he can do there. I do think he's got some things to clean up, but I think he's also more polished than a lot of people think. I think they see the herky-jerky windup, and he throws 100, and everybody's always like, oh, he's got reliever risk. And I just don't see that. He was a workhorse at Wake, and he pitched it deep into games at Tennessee. So like, I don't think that's going to be an issue for him. I think he has a repeatable mechanics and body movement. So he's so athletic that there's so much ceiling there. There's so much to dream on there. And I think he's got three pitches that you can really, really see as plus plus. And obviously the heater's what everybody talks about, but I think his slider is his best pitch. It's absolutely nasty. So I'm super excited for both those guys. Obviously both coming from Wake, what we call pitching lab, and everybody loves to refer to that. So I don't, like you said, I don't think you can go wrong, but I do have Chase a little bit higher. I think he's, again, they're going to be careful with him. They were very careful with Lauder. that first year. I don't think he would have pitched in the big leagues had not all the injuries that kind of occurred there. So, but I think if the Reds are competing late, I do think we could see Burns crack the big leagues, and that's maybe a 1-2 inning type role down the road there. But I definitely think we'll see Lauder quite a bit, maybe start of the year there.
Yeah, Lauder's so fascinating to me because when I look at his major league sample, like the fastball didn't play like you typically would have seen from Lauder in the past. Like the strike rate was pretty low on it. He didn't live in the zone very often. And that kind of goes against who Rhett Lauder is. So I think when you factor in that he probably is going to see those rates come up and throw more strikes, he's going to live in the zone and he locates so well. I think that's Lauder's biggest strength is just location, location, location. It's not going to overpower you with the fastball. I mean, he sits 93, 94. So, you know, he's not like a soft tosser by any means. That changeup's the bread and butter for sure. You know, you look and it's 86, 87, and the data on it is just absurd. Like, you look and watch it. Like, it's the kind of changeup that you want for a pitcher. So, you know, those changeup arms, you always have questions about how they play. But, like, I think Lauder's a little different. It's just fastball's better than the typical, like, changeup first type arm. And not that Lauder's changeup first, but he is very changeup heavy as well. But the slider's also solid with Lauder, too. And with Burns, you know, as you mentioned, like the fastball is electric. Like he's sitting 98, running it up to 101. It's pretty absurd carry through the zone. Like he does have a high release, like it's 6.5 release, but 20 inches of IVB is, it's really good even from a high release point. But you mentioned the slider. Yeah, I mean, it's dirty. It had a 65% whiff rate in college this year, which is insanely nasty. Near 50% chase rate. Like, those numbers were like his whiff, chase, and CSW rate in college were like 100th percentile for slider. So just pretty absurd. And the velo too, like it's sitting 88, just pretty wild. And he's got that changeup that's pretty solid too. Like, you know, it's got some late parachuting action, good fade to it. And he'll drop a curveball on you too. So, you know, Burns is not just a fastball only type. I think people kind of clump him in there and like his fastball, but like, he's got the fastball, he's got the slider, and he's got a curve and change, too, that are both really solid. I'll be curious to see how Cincinnati develops him, but all the talent's there with Chase Burns to be an absolute electric arm. And, you know, even with the floor, like, I think the floor is higher than most people think, and I think you kind of mentioned that. The stuff's off the charts, but there is a pretty solid floor, too, with Chase Burns. There's a bit of a home run problem in college, but I think that he can clean that up. Very similar to Hunter Green in that regard, where Green did show some struggles early in career with home runs. And he cleaned that up exceptionally this year, and it played super well. So those arms are obviously at the top, but the next guy I want to talk about is Cam Collier, who I thought put together a really good season in 2024. He's someone that people have almost had prospect fatigue on, which is weird in my opinion, considering he's so young. He obviously came out of the draft very early, and he just turned 20, but he's coming off a strong year in high A in 2024. What do you think 2025 looks like for Cam Collier, and what's the long-term outlook?
Yeah, I think prospect fatigue is a really good term for him. I think it's because he fell, and then the Reds signed him for, I think it was $5 million, at like pick 17 or 18. So I think when you get those guys that maybe are a little hyped pre-draft, and he went the JUCO route, and he's so young that he did struggle with that first year in Daytona, which I think anybody in the world would struggle in the Florida State League. So, I get the struggles there, and then he did have a really good showing in the Midwest League with Dayton. So I'm really excited for him. Like you said, he was 19 all year last year, just turned 20. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, I think Sal Stewart and him are really, they're always going to be compared to each other. Same draft, same type of player, obviously corner infield type. So I think Cam progressing a little bit slower than Sal, maybe has lowered expectations a tad, but he's a whole year younger than him as well. I think he's shown more game power. And then the game power is a thing I think is the most encouraging whenever we're talking about Cam. Like, I think he hit 21 or 22 homers this year. He did have some ups and downs. He struggled a little bit against lefties, but again, he's 19. I think he'll work through those things. I think the big thing for him is taking that next step with his body. And if he's going to stick at third base, is that a thing that he's going to have to work through this year? And I think Chattanooga is a really good place for that. The Reds have had a lot of success in Chattanooga. Obviously, that's where Ellie blew up. That's where McClain blew up. That's where all these guys that we're seeing in the big leagues now kind of had their best years of minor league baseball. So I don't know what it is there. I don't know if it's a good place to hit. I don't know if the the hitting coaches are good or not, but there's definitely something there with it. So I think he's kind of having a, again, like you said, it's a slow progression, but I think it's definitely an arrow pointing up for him, and excited to see him continue to translate kind of all the tools in his bag there, because I think he's a really polished hitter for being his age.
Yeah. Are the Lookouts moving to the new park this year, or is that 2026?
I think it's six. Yeah. I don't think they're doing – I'm not 100% sure, but I won't miss those camera angles, that's for sure.
Yeah, a new park's beautiful. I'm looking at the renderings right now. I was trying to figure out what year when you said Chattanooga, it dawned on me. I was like, I know they're building a new stadium. I just couldn't remember whether they're building or moving into it this year or next. But you know, regardless, like I think that, yeah, it's going to be double A for them is a good place. And like you mentioned, they've had a lot of success with guys there. Collier's interesting to me. Is he a first baseman long term? I don't know. I mean, certainly if he sticks at third, he's more valuable in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think it comes down to his body. We know the bat's going to play. I thought Collier showed good contact improvement this year, and we know the power is above average to plus, in my opinion. And I think we're going to see that really shine this year. I'm excited to see what Cam Collier does. And I think that, I mean, I look at him and I think he's a top 50 prospect pretty easily. I wouldn't be shocked to see him move even higher either if he continues to show progression with a hit tool. Gives the Reds pretty talented group at the top, and you mentioned Sal Stewart as well. You know, he kind of slots in at that fourth spot for me. Mm-hmm. But one guy I think has the breakout potential is Alfredo Duno, who we haven't got to see a ton of. I think he's a pretty fascinating player. He's a catcher. He just turned 19 like last week, so I think that he's very young for the DSL, and then he skipped the complex, goes to single A. Obviously doesn't have a full season due to injury. Broken ribs ended his season early, unfortunately. But Duno's power is off the charts. A question to you is, does he stick at catcher long term? And what does that bat look like?
Yeah, you would see him. It is not a catcher body. He is a massive human being at 19 years old. And he's been like going around doing the Reds Fest. And like some of these pictures he's taken with grown men, it's like he's towering over them. And he's like shaking their hands, and you can just tell he's just a big dude. That obviously brings the question of if he's going to stick. And I do think he's got good actions back there. I think he throws well, which I think has to be his calling card. If he probably not going to be a great framer, probably not going to be a great blocker, those sort of things. So obviously the bat's going to be his calling card moving forward. And I was so impressed with him and the time I got to see him. Obviously Daytona doesn't broadcast all their games, so was able to watch him quite a bit. But like he popped a couple 108, 109s at 18. And then he does all these different things. He moves well. He's got good actions at the plate. He takes well. Like all these things that you're looking for in a young hitter, I think he has those. And as he's kind of maturing and growing into his body, and I think we're going to continue to see that progression. So I'm not as much worried about if the bat's going to play, because I think that that's going to be what kind of keeps him moving up the system. The Reds need a catcher. The system is really bare with catchers at the moment, so I think they're going to give him every chance to be a catcher. It's just a matter of when, if they do make the switch, when does that happen? Is that when he's 21, 22? But we're talking about that's probably going to be double A, triple A, even potential big leagues by that point. So I think the biggest thing for him is just continue to hit, continue to progress there, and then obviously don't see how his body matures and which way he kind of goes there. If he slims out a little bit and is able to stick there, I think that'd be awesome for the Reds.
Yeah, I mean, he's a massive. I was just looking at those pictures that you mentioned from Reds Fest, and he's big. Like, yeah, I definitely had been told that he had grown like beyond the 6'2 list, but as a big boy right there, and the power shows, like the EVs are definitely impressive for his age. Yeah, I mean, it's power for days. I think the contact's still a bit of a question. But at the end of the day, like, the bat's going to be the carrying tool. And if he does develop behind the plate, then great. But it's kind of a bat that can probably play at DH or even first base if he had to. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see 2025 looks like for him. And he'll be 19 the entire year, which, you know, you look at a player like this and say, look what he's done as a 17, 18-year-old. What could this look like now? And I think there's a lot to like here. But the guy that I think can make the biggest leap in the system, who is one of my favorites in this past year's draft, was Tyson Lewis. We obviously haven't seen him other than he played in the Bridge League and some instructs, and the feedback I got was really, really good. I look at the prep data, look at the frame, the athlete, and I think Tyson Lewis just checks a ton of boxes for me. Could this be the Reds' future shortstop in time? Obviously, we're talking about a young prep guy, but what are we looking at with Tyson Lewis, who the Reds selected in the 2024 draft?
Yeah, I was really excited about that pick. I think that they had targeted him, and obviously they kind of bought him down a little bit and were able to give him a nice bonus there. So the Reds have done, they've really identified well in those rounds there, those middle rounds. I think he was he a second rounder or supplemental? I can't remember exactly, yeah. But right in that range there. But yeah, I everything I've seen and heard on him has been exceptional. I think he's got great motor, great work ethic, all about all the right things. And being from Nebraska, I don't think you could be about too much except that. So I'm excited for him. I think I saw a couple of videos kind of surfacing around. He got to face Darvish when he was on his rehab and hit a triple off of him and like had good at bats, was taking good swings. So that's such an invaluable experience for those guys that he probably got more at bats in those type of situational ABs than he probably did in the entire year during his high school season. So that's great experience for him. I'm interested to see where he goes. They were pretty slow with Stafura, who was a pretty similar prospect. I think they started him in the complex league and he tore it up, and then they moved him to Daytona at the end of the year. So I don't know if they'll go that path with him or they'll just go straight to Daytona. But regardless, I'm very excited for him. And I think the athlete in him is the most exciting part, because he does have a lot of tools to kind of dream on there. He's probably more athletic than the Stafura type there. So I'm very excited. I think he's got a really high ceiling, and I think he could be a potential breakout guy who we're talking about as a top 100 prospect this time next year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a superior athlete. Like, the run times are plus. Like, I look at the swing, and I love it. I think that there's just a lot to dream on with that frame, too, from a power standpoint. Like, you look at him, it's like, okay, like, he can definitely add some strength to this frame. And the Reds obviously loved him as well to give him the bonus that he got. I think he got $3 million, $3.05 million.
Yeah.
In the second round, that's serious money. They've spoke very highly of him. The Reds scouting director has had a lot of positive comments to say. Hey, I'll be interested. Like, where do they assign him? May depend on the spring. But, yeah, it wouldn't be shocking if they sent him to the complex. Also wouldn't be shocking if they sent him to single-A Daytona out of the gate. So, either way, like, I think that he's a player to watch closely. Certainly one of my favorite preps in last year's draft, and I thought the Reds definitely knocked that pick out of the park. But you mentioned another guy kind of similar in a way, and that's Sammy Stafura, who went that path, the complex to single-A. What do you make of his first full pro season in 2024, and what do you think we're looking at long-term with his profile?
Yeah, I was really pleased with his year. He got tore up. Truthfully, last year, his first year at the complex, and it wasn't really close. I think he only walked about 5% of the time, struck out like in the 40s. So he definitely had to make some adjustments, and I think it was pretty clear that he wasn't ready. And I think that sometimes happens with those Northeast guys, that they can be a little bit slower to develop kind of early on. But him having the year he had was really encouraging on that front. I think I was most impressed with his walk rate. He walked over 10% of the time, didn't strike out a lot, and really kind of tapped into some power that I didn't think he would show this early in game. So he checked a lot of boxes for me. I'm always kind of that first year from a high school kid. I'm usually kind of wait and see mode. I think we all are. It's a big adjustment kind of being a professional for the first time. So it was really good to see him obviously get promoted, and he had a really nice year at Daytona. Like I mentioned earlier, it's a tough place to hit, and he was in the 120s with his WRC plus, and the swing's a little funky. I think he's going to have to clean up a little bit in regards to that, but he's got good strike zone discipline. He doesn't chase a lot. He makes good contact, so I think that the next step is just getting stronger, getting more consistent with the barrel through the zone, and I think he's got a chance to be a nice player. I think, I don't know if he's going to be a shortstop long term. I haven't heard a lot of it on his defense. I think I'll leave that to you. But I do think that the bat's going to play, I think. And it's just a matter of finding kind of that next step in his progression.
Yeah, you know, I think Stafir's glove is fine. Like, I'm probably slightly below average at the moment at shortstop, but, you know, I wouldn't rule out a move like to second base either. It wouldn't be shocking either way. But I think that's the biggest difference I'm looking at with Tyson Lewis and Stafir is just the athlete in general. I think that Lewis is just a much better athlete. But yeah, look at the numbers, and they're pretty interesting for Stafir, especially once he bumped a single A. There was some ups and downs, but as you mentioned, like, he shows really good feel for the zone. He doesn't chase often, and he also is pretty aggressive in the zone. So he's swinging at pitches that he should swing at and not swinging at pitches he shouldn't. So, you know, that's a sign of a pretty disciplined hitter at 19. You definitely want to see the steps forward when it comes to, like, the power, as you mentioned. Like, I think that Daytona and the Florida State League are definitely tough places to hit. So, you know, I'd kind of watch and see if that does take a step forward in 2025. That'll be something to watch. Like, his EVs on line drives and fly balls are pretty solid, but he topped out. Like, his max, just, they're not great. I would like to see those improve. But again, I wouldn't rule that out. A young kid still developing and learning how to get a feel for the barrel. Yeah, I'm absolutely still interested in Sammy Stafir. And I thought the progress was pretty good this year. So a solid first full season for him. Hector Rodriguez is an interesting one. He's somebody that people on social media love. And I understand the reason to be hype behind him. I've always been a little more timid for various reasons because he's hyper aggressive and he chases a ton. When you look on the surface, you're now looking at two straight years of pretty solid performance. So you go back to 2023 and he hit 16 home runs, stole 18 bags, and he put up an 837 OPS in single A and high A. He goes back to high A in 2024, and he did take a bit of a step back, but still solid numbers. People are very infatuated with Hector Rodriguez, much more than I am, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts, somebody that watches him much more than I do.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and I think you hit it on the head. He's a free swinger, man. He's a funny at bat to watch because he'll swing at one at his ankles and then he'll take one that's like middle, and you're just like, man, what are you waiting for? So, I think there's a lot there because he does have pop. He's 5'7", 5'8", 165 pounds, but he pops, like you said, 16 home runs in 2023. And EVs aren't great. I think he's got like a 107, 108 max, but there's certain things about him that you like. 15% K rate, the 4% walk rate, obviously you take the good with the bad there. He's not striking out, but he's not walking a lot. So, I think he's almost needs to take another step with his contact. If he's going to be that type of hitter, like he needs to get his K rates to like 8 or 9%. If he's going to be that free swinging type, but it's probably going to be pretty tough if he's chasing 40% of the time. So I like him. I think he's a really fun player to watch. He's kind of positionless too. Like, I think he's tried center field. He's tried second base some. And there's just always that kind of question mark behind who is that person when he continues to progress. So I was higher on Hector until this year. I do think that his flaws showed a little bit more, and high A can do that to you. As soon as you hit high A, I think your flaws start to show through. So he's going to have to take a step with his chase rates in order to take that next step. And I think Chattanooga will be a good challenge for him. That group together, it's a fun group, and I think he kind of thrives in that environment of winning. And he's a winning player. He does a lot of things well. He runs well, and like I said, he makes a ton of contact. So, if there's somebody on third with one out or nobody out, he's probably the guy you want to play because he's going to get him in. So, there's things about him to like. I just don't know if he's an actual major league prospect. If we're being totally blunt about the situation,
Yeah, and I think that's a fair assessment. I think we have to look at him like in that light. Like everybody wants to look at the surface numbers, and that's fine, but there's so many other things to look at and factor in, especially with a player like this. And he didn't improve the chase rates in 2024. He was at 48% in 2023. It was like the third worst mark, I think, in all the minors. Just swing happy, swing at everything. But you can't live with a 48% chase rate. It did drop like closer to 43% this year. So still not good, but we saw improvement. I was actually looking at his Winter League data. Obviously a completely different environment, but he chased it at 37% clip. So if we keep seeing this trend, like that's certainly positive. But again, the swing rate's still really high in winter ball. It right in line with where he was again this year in high A, like swinging at like 55% of pitches overall. That's a lot of swings, man. Like, and you basically swinging it more than every other pitch, like got to be a little more patient and get something to hit. Cause I don't think he's hitting great pitches half the time when he's making contact. But when you're swinging that much, like often you're just putting the barrel on the ball and hoping to do something. He's fascinating to watch, as you said. Like it's really interesting. And I'm curious how it shakes out. He's definitely on the smaller side. Like it's below average EVs. Like, I don't know if I'm buying in. I've got him a little bit lower in the system, but I did want to talk about him because I know a lot of people love Hector Rodriguez, and I'm just not sure I'm there. He's still young, so maybe we see the improvement still. He will be 21 this year. He'll turn 21 in spring training, and like you mentioned, he'll be in Double-A, so it'll be a good test and kind of see where he's at. So I'm curious what happens with him. He's definitely not going to be a high OBP guy at all. Just, hey, you got to stop swinging, but Hector Rodriguez is a fascinating name, and it's certainly good to hear about him there. Player that I'm fascinated with, though, is Ty Floyd. He was somebody that I loved out of the draft in 2023. He ultimately didn't pitch, injured, didn't pitch at all in 2024. Have you heard anything on Floyd and his progress and what we can expect from him coming into 2025?
I do know he's healthy. I know he's going to come out of the spring healthy, hopefully. So I know he's at least reporting that like he's good to go. So that's great news. Like you said, I love Floyd out of LSU as well. The fastball just pops. And anytime you've got a fastball like that, that's 60, 70, even sometimes an 80 grade pitch, it's going to be fun to watch. So I think the Reds are usually very, very cautious with guys coming off TJ. So I think we may even see an innings limit this year of who knows, maybe 80 innings at most. Be interested to see where he goes. I could probably see him going to Dayton. It'll probably be where like Luke Coleman and a couple of those other guys are as well. So, but yeah, I'm very intrigued by him. I think he's got a lot of tools. I think the changeup is pretty good. I think the slider's pretty good. Obviously not pitching for a year. He'll have to, obviously I'm sure there'll be some rust and I'm sure there'll be some certain things he's got to work through, but obviously spring training will be a good time to do that. So I haven't seen him a ton, obviously. Nobody has. But the last we saw him, he was striking out 16 guys in the College World Series. So it's going to be a fun time for him. And as a Reds fan, I'm very excited for him. And I think he's obviously got a ton of ceiling there to dream on.
Yeah, he's so fascinating. You mentioned that start, obviously. Like his College World Series run was pretty epic that year. I mean, it's a mid-90s fastball. Like he throws from a lower release height, it's like 5-6 release, but it's 19-20 inches of vert and good run, so it's pretty absurd. My biggest concern is he used it 80% of the time in college, which I would hope that the Reds are tweaking with that mix, because you just can't survive in pro ball using a fastball 80% of the time, no matter how good it is. Like you can watch, like you can just watch the film and you see the explosion of the fastball, but at the end of the day, if you're not mixing it and sequencing well, I don't think it's going to matter. But he does have good secondaries. It's just a matter of using them more. That changeup, as you mentioned, it's like 20 inches of fade. It's pretty crazy, like 83, 85 range. That slider's got some good sweep, and he'll drop in a curve that's almost reflective of the slider, but then it just drops. Like it's got some good depth to it as well. That's my biggest question I want to see from Floyd is like, what do the Reds do with his pitch mix? Because I obviously don't like seeing anybody use a fastball that much, but it's a really good fastball at that. Like I think it's easily plus or better. I think the secondaries can play. I'm really fascinated with Floyd, so he's one that I'll be super excited to watch this coming year. Another pitcher, though, that I really like. He's actually a local to me here in Greenville, South Carolina, and that's Adam Serwinowski. I thought he had a pretty good year in 2024. I think he flies under the radar, but what do Red fans need to know about Adam Serwinowski, and what is his outlook?
Yeah, he might be my favorite arm in the system outside of the big two. I think he had a great year in regards to expectation and what that looks like. Obviously, being able to sign him away from South Carolina, what was a huge get. I didn't expect it. I think they took him in the 14th round or something in that range, and I was just like, oh, maybe that's just a throwaway pick almost, but because of bonus pool or whatever, and then they were able to get him, and I was pumped. That was a really great sign, and obviously he showed really well. I think the strikeout stuff is the most intriguing part. Being able to put hitters away at his age is really important and really, really good to see, because you don't often see that. I think a lot of guys younger in their careers, especially high school guys, do struggle to put away professional hitters. And I think he's got a good feel for three pitches, which another thing you don't see often at his age. I think his fastball plays really well. I think he was 92 to 94 most starts I watched him. But the slider's really solid, and I think he had a pretty good whiff and chase on that. So I think obviously the next step for him is pitching deeper into games, kind of dealing with the wear and tear of a daily season and what that looks like for him. So I think continuing just to build off that and what that looks like will be huge. But I was super impressed every time I watched him. I think Daytona's pitching staff as a whole was really solid, and that I think it just kind of built day to day. They were all kind of building off each other, and he had a great year. I was really pleased with that, and I've talked him up a lot on different anytime I can. I've talked about him and the different things that he's able to do.
Yeah, and I think people want to point to the walk rate, but I'll point to the strike rate and kind of counter you. He had a 67% strike rate with his four seam fastball, which is pretty exceptional. Like the league average strike rate at his age is like, or at least in single A, it's like 61%. Obviously, like it drops a little bit when we're talking like the slider. He'll mix in a sinker every now and then. I think it's really just the four seam registering more horizontal movement there. That fastball is a pretty deadly pitch. You're right. It sits 93, 94. He topped at 97 already, which I think is pretty big. He's a 19, 20 year old, big lefty as well. So when you get a lefty that can get some heat on the fastball, then we're really cooking. I like the slider a lot. Like it's got some depth and horizontal to it. And ultimately, like I think that will be the hinge. Like, can he throw it for strikes enough? Mm-hmm. But it certainly missed bats. Like that wasn't an issue at all. It had good chase rate on it. He just didn't live in he actually lived in the zone enough, but it's fascinating to me to look at kind of the pitch data. He had a 40% whiff rate on the slider, so that's spectacular. So Serwinowski is certainly somebody that I think belongs higher in the system than people give him credit for, and he just doesn't really get the love. I also think this guy may be a bit underrated too. That's Peyton Stovall, who they drafted in the fourth round out of Arkansas this past summer in the 2024 draft. We did see a bit of his debut, but what's your feel on him? Do you think he's underrated, and what can we expect moving forward from Peyton Stovall?
Yeah, I was really excited for that pick. I think as an avid college baseball fan, Stovall's really well known. He was played at Arkansas for 4 years, and was a staple in their lineup from the time he got on campus. So I was pleased with the pick. I think he's a really quality player. I think he's a winning player. Those are things that the Reds have been trying to get into their organization, because we haven't done a lot of winning here in Cincinnati over the years. So I think it starts from the ground up, and guys like Stovall definitely increase that. And obviously, great plate discipline. He's always had really good plate discipline, knows the strike zone, hits the ball hard too, hits the ball a little bit harder than I thought he did. I think that game power will show through a little bit more in a full season. Obviously, I don't think he lifted the ball a ton in his debut. Obviously, that led to a little bit of maybe some batted ball luck or not going his way or whatnot. So there's definitely a lot more tools than I thought. I thought he'd maybe be a little bit more of a finished product there. But obviously, anytime you have somebody that knows the zone as well as he does and makes enough contact like he does, I think you can kind of dream on a little bit more about what his ceiling is offensively. And I think he's a pretty solid defensive player at second base too. So I'm interested to see where they challenge him at. I think he'll probably start in Dayton. Maybe they challenge him to Double A if he shows well there. They've been pretty aggressive with their college hitters at times. So I'm very interested to see kind of what that looks like for him this year and kind of where he ends up.
Yeah, he's a fascinating one to me. I think that you described him well. I think he's handles all pitch types well, which checks a lot of boxes for a college bat. Like if you can hit velo, you can hit spin. Like, all right, we're talking now. I do think the biggest question for me is, can he lift the ball enough? I think that's what I want to see improved on, because he does hit it hard. If you get it in the air and hit it hard, like, it's going to play. We ran a 44% ground ball rate in college this year, and it jumped to 50% in his pro debut. Other than that, like, I think it's a pretty solid skill set. He just doesn't get talked about, like, among the top draftees. I know he's a fourth rounder, but still, like, I think this is a pretty talented bat who has a lot of potential. And I'll be curious to see, like you mentioned, like, where does he go? Maybe he goes to high A, but I think he's in double A for a decent portion of the season. And there's the chance that he just shows, maybe he's not the flashiest player, but I think he's going to be really solid across the board. So I like the Peyton Stovall pick. But before we get out of here, I want to talk and see if you have any breakouts from the system that you think could take a huge leap in 2025. So maybe a pitcher and a hitter, if you got one, that's fine. But who are we looking at that could take that massive step forward for the Reds in 2025?
Yeah, I think we've covered a lot of guys, but I think one guy we haven't mentioned that had a good year last year that I think he has another level to get to is Ethan O'Donnell, the outfielder from Virginia that drafted in 2023. He had a really nice year in Dayton. He hit for a little bit more power than I thought he would. Obviously, he was renowned for his defense. I think he's a really good defensive center fielder. He runs well. He showed more power than I thought he would. So those are things that I was looking for. And I think he might be the best outfielder in the system. It doesn't say a lot about the outfielders in the system, but I do think O'Donnell's got a pretty cool floor and ceiling combo that a lot of people kind of overlook a little bit, and just maybe because he's a little bit older, or maybe he was a seventh or eighth rounder, and those aren't the flashiest guys to talk about. But the results he put out this year, I'm really excited for him, and I think he's closer to the big leagues than we think, because the defense is a floor that can play up, and if he does take another step with the bat, I do think we could see him. And then pitching side, I think I'll probably go with Luke Holman from LSU. He was their second comp round pick this year, so he's another guy too. It's like, he's not the flashiest arm. He's 92, 93, but he's got four pitches, and he competed on Friday nights in the SEC for the whole year and ended up with like a 2.6, 2.7 ERA. So, and I think we all know how college baseball was last year. The ball was popping all year. So he's kind of just a bulldog. He kind of has a feel to pitch. I think he's going to stay a starter long term. And those guys are invaluable in your system. You got to have those type of guys to kind of grow into themselves. And maybe they're not the ceiling that other guys are, but I do think that he's got a little bit more ceiling than a lot of people are talking about. I think everybody was so fixated on the Burns and Lewis combo that he kind of goes overlooked. He was kind of sandwiched in between those guys, and those guys have crazy upside and that sort of thing. But he's kind of the one that might be a surefire big leaguer out of the system there. So I'm excited for him. I think he's going to be a nice arm for him.
Yeah, Ethan O'Donnell is an interesting call out. Like, he's one that's kind of piqued my interest just as I've dug a little bit more this offseason. Like, I don't know what to expect. I mean, the power numbers were frankly really bad in college. Like, you look at the EVs and with metal, they were bad. And I didn't expect that kind of jump. We knew he was a good contact hitter with a decent approach, but yeah, I mean, I think his ascension has been pretty interesting. And you mentioned the glove, probably still the carrying tool, but there's also a pretty solid skill set here with Ethan O'Donnell. So yeah, certainly one to watch. Probably starts in double A, but he can move pretty fast. And I wouldn't be shocked given that he'll be 23 and an advanced college type bat with a good glove. Like, yeah, wouldn't count him out at all. I think that's going to wrap us up. It's been a blast talking to you, Bryce. Thanks for all your insight on the Reds system. Feel free to plug anything you got going on, what you're doing, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. That's where I keep most of my stuff, Bryce_Spalding. I do tweet a lot about the Reds, I will say. So be prepared for it. I do mix in prospects throughout the year. I'll usually put up video with any type of reports that I may have. So love talking prospects, love talking ball. So give me a follow, and definitely more than happy to talk ball with anybody out there. So appreciate you having me on, Chris.
Yeah, of course. It was a good time talking the Reds farm system. It's going to do it. It's been another edition of the Dynasty Dugout Show. We will see you again soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil and get a $15 gift card after rebate, plus 2 times points at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.